Now, this evening we're going to read from the Gospel by Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel by Matthew, and we're going to read firstly in chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 8. Reading at verse 1, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 1, when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hands and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now we're going to read in chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading at verse 1. And he, again, the Lord Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. That is, a man who was paralyzed, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine own house. And he arose, and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now we know that God will bless the reading of the scriptures, and we trust it might be a blessing and a help to all of us in this little room this evening. Now, if you were to take the time to read Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9, what you would discover is a whole series of miracles and works of power performed by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus demonstrates that he has power in these two chapters. So, for example, we have read his power to cleanse. And in chapter 9, we have read about his power to forgive and his power to heal. Were we to read down chapter 9, we would find the Lord Jesus in the middle of a storm. And he had the power even to still the wind and the sea. He had the power to deliver men from Satan's authority. In the next chapter, he had the power, in fact, to raise a girl of 12 back to life again. And so the Saviour that we present to you this evening is not a weak Saviour. He has power. And he has power to change the lives of those that come in faith to him. And we're going to think of two individuals this evening that experience the power of Christ in their lives. We're going to think of this leper in chapter 8. We don't know his name. We know he was a man, but he was an unnamed leper. And we're going to think about the power of the Lord Jesus to cleanse a leper. And when we come to chapter 9, we find another unnamed man, a man who was paralyzed. And not only was he restored, he was able to walk after this encounter with the Lord Jesus, but even more importantly, we learn in chapter 9 that the Lord Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And that is all important for us. Whether we're young or old, we need someone who can forgive our sins. So let us think about these two incidents just for the next 20 minutes or so. When we read about this leper, we need to understand something about the disease of leprosy. It's maybe not a problem in the country where we live, but for the people that lived in the time when the Lord Jesus was here and throughout Bible times, leprosy really was a dreadful disease. It was incurable. It led to the man or the woman's death. And as far as someone in Israel was concerned, once they had leprosy, then they became really separated from all their family. They were separated from the people. They couldn't come to the temple. It was really a very graphic picture of something that is a problem for all of us, and that's the problem of sin. Leprosy made a man and a woman unclean as far as God was concerned. And that's why the man asks. He comes to the Lord Jesus and he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." That was his concern. He wanted to be clean. And you say, "Well, what has a leper got to do with me here in Scotland, in Leven? How does that help me?" Well, you see, we're going to think about leprosy and this leper as a picture of a man or a woman or a boy and a girl. And each of us has a problem that makes us unclean before God. And that is the problem of our sin. Your leprosy very often started as a very small thing. And it then grew and spread. And it could in fact cover the whole body. It could just take a grip of the whole body. And that's exactly what sin is like. It might start as a very small thing in our life. And that small thing becomes bigger and so on. And we become slaves to it. And we can't break the power of sin. And really, as far as God is concerned, we're just unclean like this leper. Now, if I was to ask you, can you remember the first sin you committed? I don't think anybody, but any one of us probably can. Because the tragedy is this, that there have been so many since then that we can't remember the first. And we are just like this leper. And we need to be cleansed. We need to be forgiven. We need to get rid of our sins. And the tremendous thing that this leper can teach us, the tremendous truth that this leper can teach us, he can tell us the person to go to. Now, we don't know how this man arrived at the conclusion that he did. He had doubtless heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he comes to the Lord Jesus, and it's evident from his words that not only did he realize his own condition, he realized that he needed to be cleansed, but he also believed that the Lord Jesus could cleanse him. You see, he believed that. He was confident about that. Listen to his words. "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He was confident that the Lord Jesus could cleanse him. Now, we're not told how he arrived at that. But I want to say to you this evening, dear friend, that the same Lord that this man addressed in Matthew chapter 8, he is able to cleanse you from your sins. John writes in his first letter, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." And we are pointing you this evening to a person, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the ability to cleanse you from your sins. Now that was what this man had arrived at. And this man believed it. He believed it. And he came to the Lord Jesus. There came a leper. And the Bible speaks here of the fact that he came and worshipped him. He reverenced the Lord Jesus. And he reverenced him in what he says about the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice, first of all, he acknowledged that Jesus This Jesus of Nazareth, he acknowledged that he was Lord. He was Lord. You say, what does that mean? Well, that is a title of God. It shows to us that the man that is called Jesus of Nazareth is not a mere man. He is God manifest in flesh. And it is a title that denotes the absolute authority of the Lord Jesus. You see, we must understand the terms on which God is prepared to bless us. God is wanting to forgive us our sins. God wants to give to us eternal life. God wants to assure us of a home in heaven. But you see, what God is not prepared to do is this. To wipe away your sins and allow you to go on living as you are now. If we are going to know Jesus as our Saviour, we have to accept him as our Lord. We belong to him. And so the Bible speaks like this in Romans chapter 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, Lord. And here was a man that realized that the one whom they called Jesus of Nazareth was none other than the Lord. I wonder if you're prepared to make that kind of confession. And what this man also realized is this, that he couldn't place a demand on God. Now listen to his words. If thou wilt, or if you will, thou canst make me clean. You see, we live in a day and people make demands. They even seek to make demands on God. God should do this and God should do that. But here was a man that though he believed that the Lord Jesus was able to cleanse him, he also realized that he could not, if I could use the words, force the Lord Jesus to cleanse him. He depended on the willingness of the Lord Jesus. Will the Lord Jesus respond to this request? Oh, listen to this. This is wonderful. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I will. Be thou clean. And I want to assure you this evening that the Lord Jesus is still willing to cleanse sinners. Whether you're young or old, whether you've committed many sins or few, whether you think those sins are serious or otherwise, all sin is serious. We want to assure you that there is still a Saviour and he is willing to forgive. He is willing to cleanse. And this leper comes to the Lord Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt. But I want you to notice with me the man's confidence. Thou canst make me clean. Now we need to understand that what happened in Matthew chapter 8 was a most unusual thing to happen. It was exceptional that a leper could be cleansed. Exceptional. Now, even today, whilst there is cures to leprosy, it takes a long time. This man was healed just like that. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. You say, how did it happen? It must have been a miracle. It was a miracle. It's because of the ability of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're thinking this evening of our eternal destiny. We're thinking this evening about our souls. We're not just bodies. There's a real us. And the question that we have to address is, where are we going? Where are we destined for? Is it heaven or hell? If we're still in our sins, then the Bible teaches us that we're going to have to give an account. We're going to face the judgment of God. As we are, as we were born, we are not right with God. We're not fit for heaven. And the issue of this gospel meeting is, how do we get right with God? How do we get cleansed? How do we get forgiven? And I want to say to you that the only person that can cleanse us is Jesus Christ. Now, he made that claim. He could say on one occasion to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The Lord Jesus made that exclusive claim. Peter preached, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Lord Jesus could say, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." Write this letter, we have to come to the right person. And we want to point you to the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he has the ability to save you. The proven ability. There's a lovely verse in the book of the Hebrews, and it goes like this: "He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him." You say, "Will he save me? Can he save me?" My dear friend, he can. "Is he willing to cleanse me from my sins?" You might say, "You don't know how I've lived." I don't need to know how you've lived, but God knows. And in the death of his Son at Calvary, God has made provision for you. You can be cleansed. And here is this leper. He comes. And he makes this appeal. He offers this worship. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And what he discovered was this: there was a willing Saviour. "I will. Be thou clean." And the commentary of the Bible is this: immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That's what will happen. God doesn't sort of say, "Well, now I'll put you to the test now. If you trust in my Son, we'll wait a few years just to see if I'm going to save you or not." No, salvation isn't like that. The moment we trust in the Lord Jesus, we are declared right with God. We're forgiven. We're given the gift of eternal life, and obviously our subsequent life should show that that change has taken place. But immediately, you could have come into this meeting hall this evening a sinner destined for eternal judgment, and you could leave through that door saved and on your way to heaven. And be sure of it, not because of anything in yourself, but because you've come to trust the teaching of God's word and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a change took place in this man's life. The Lord Jesus said to him in verse 4, and I want to move on because I want to get to the second incident. He says, "See thou tell no man." You see, that's a strange thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a man went and published abroad what the Lord Jesus had done? Well, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus says, "I want you to go and show yourself to the priest for a testimony to them." Now, the priest would be a very careful man. And he would look at the man's hands and his body and where the leprosy had been. And that priest would have been astonished that that leprosy was completely gone. If we come to faith in the Lord Jesus, those that look on will know. There will be a dramatic change. Your interests will be different. Your way of life will be different. Your desires will be different. Your company will be different. People looking on, even if they do not hear you speak, will know there has been a change. And so it is with this leper. As people watched him walking down the street, they would say, "Was that not the leper?" They would see the evidence of a work of God in that man's life. And that can still happen for those that will come in the same spirit as this leper and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to come very quickly to Matthew chapter 9. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, a man is paralyzed, can't walk. And he's brought on a bed. Other Gospels give us more of the detail of the incident, but he's placed before the Lord Jesus. And round about the Lord Jesus, there are these scribes, these religious men. And you look upon that scene and you say, if I was to ask you, what do you think was that man's greatest need? You would say, well, the man needs to be able to walk again. That's his greatest need. The Lord Jesus says, not so. This man's greatest need was the need for forgiveness. Now, he got both needs met. He walked away from that scene, but he walked away a forgiven man. And so we read in verse number 2 of our chapter, Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of this palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, I thought that this man's physical condition was his greatest need. The Lord Jesus says, not so. The man needed forgiveness. The man needed forgiveness. And I wish I could impress that truth upon all our hearts this evening, particularly if you're not saved. I don't know your circumstances. It may well be that you face great hardships in life and great disappointments and perhaps illness. And these are very real, and I wouldn't want to minimize any of that for a moment. But can I tell you that the greatest need is the need for forgiveness? And the Lord Jesus is able to forgive. He has the power to forgive. Now, those who were looking on, these religious men, they didn't speak these words, but they thought it. They said, this man's a blasphemer. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, do you know that the Lord Jesus knows the very thoughts that are going through your mind as you sit in the seats in this meeting hall this evening? The psalmist recognized the astonishing truth of God's knowledge when he can write like this, thou understandest my thought, singular, afar off. How solemn that is. To think of a God whose knowledge is so great that he knows what is passing through my mind at this very moment. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And he speaks like this, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Now, he still has that power. He's in heaven, but he has power on earth to forgive sins. And as long as you're on earth, that is in the scope where he can forgive sins. For those that have died, that's beyond. There's not that opportunity. But the Lord Jesus has the power to forgive sins. The Lord Jesus made a remarkable statement in verse 5. I want to bring this before you. He says to them now, which is easier? To say to this man, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. What do you think is easier for me to say? Mind you, for him to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, was a costly statement for our Lord Jesus to make. Because he had to pay the price for those sins in his death at the cross. You and the Lord Jesus said to this man, thy sins be forgiven thee. It wasn't that just God forgot about the whole thing and, as it were, swept it under the carpet and that was the end of it. No, those sins needed to be accounted for. And they were accounted for by the Lord Jesus when he died upon the cross. When the Lord Jesus said to this man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, that was an immensely costly statement for our Lord Jesus to make. But he made it. And he paid the price. He suffered at God's hand for sins on the cross. And those words can be said to you this evening and myself, because he has died and risen again. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful blessing to have? To know that your sins are forgiven. To know that you will never be held accountable for the sins of your life, thy sins be forgiven thee. And to demonstrate that the Lord Jesus had the power to do that, he performed an incredible miracle. He said to a paralyzed man, arise, take up your bed and walk. You say, The man won't get up. The man can't get up. He's paralyzed. The Lord Jesus had the power to restore that man's capacity to walk. And he arose. He took up his bed and he went to his own house. The Lord Jesus has power. And I say to you this evening, no matter how you have lived to this point, no matter how deep sin has got a grip of your life, the Lord Jesus has the power to save you. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. What a wonderful promise that is in the Bible. You say, what does God want me to do? God wants you to believe it. God wants you just to accept what he says about you is true. That's really what repentance involves. It's changing your mind about yourself, first of all, amongst other things. We've got to recognize that when God says we're sinners, that's exactly what we are. And perhaps we just have to look into our life and find that the way of life, the way we're living, might be all right as far as the people in our world is concerned. Maybe our society has no problems with the way you live, but God has a problem with it. And perhaps you're living in a way that God condemns in his word. And you need to change your mind about that. You need to see yourself as God sees you. But you also need to see God's Son as God sees him. As the one who is a saviour. The one that you can come to. The one that will save you, who's willing to save you, who is willing to forgive. Seeing their faith, he said, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, as the Lord Jesus looks into your heart this evening, I do not know, because I can't see into your heart, I don't know whether he sees faith or not, but he does. And as he looked at these men, as they brought this paralyzed man to the Lord Jesus, he saw their faith. Now, one way in which he saw their faith was this, that they actually came to him. You say, had they seen the Lord Jesus healing a man who had paralysis before? Well, they possibly not. But they believed that he was able. They trusted in him. And he saw their faith. And can I say this evening, if you exercise faith in the Lord Jesus, it will be known in heaven. It will be known in heaven. Jesus seeing their faith. You see, what we can't do is have some kind of pretense. We can't fool God. We can't put on a show that God doesn't see through. Jesus seeing their faith. That's the kind of response the Lord Jesus wants from you. He wants you to trust in him and come to him and find that he is able to save you and he is able to forgive you. My time has gone. It is wonderful to be able to preach to a Saviour that has power. You know, that power was seen wonderfully at Calvary. And it was seen wonderfully in his resurrection. The Saviour that we preach to you is alive tonight. He lives in heaven at God's right hand. He died. And he was buried. And he rose again. He rose again from the dead. Now, that's a historical fact. Please don't think that the Christianity is based on fables. Christianity is based upon historical facts. And the New Testament scriptures present to you the evidence of the reality that Christ is risen. And God says, I want you to believe in such a Saviour who is alive and who is able to cleanse you. He is able to forgive you. May you trust in this Saviour. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank thee for this short time that we have been able to spend around thy word. And we do bless thee for the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that that power was not used to gain popularity with men or to gain position, but we thank thee that it was used to bless men. And we pray this evening that there might be a sinner amongst us that would, like that leper, come and worship before the feet of the Lord Jesus and come to know the cleansing power of his precious blood. And so we commend ourselves to thee as we part. We thank thee for everyone who has taken the time to come together to sit and listen to the gospel message. And our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless each one. And we pray most of all that thou wilt bless in salvation. And so we seek now thy blessing as we part. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.